Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Loving Father, we thank you and we praise you for indeed the power of the gospel, for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And we want to hear a word from you this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Before I start, some of you may have had questions. I forgot to mention this earlier. When I was giving the report from Dominican Republic, we had 25 baptisms throughout the week, and 51 that are probably going to be baptized today. So praise God for that. Amen. Shows that God can use anybody. Hint, hint. Next mission trip. You never know. God can use you. So if you have you been anywhere, at least in the country today, throughout this week, I should say, what has been in the news? The submarine, right? That's all people have been talking about, the implosion of the Titan submarine. Interesting. I would never do that. I'm claustrophobic. Did you hear $250,000 a person? They pay just to do that. And my understanding is, when we think about everything that happened this week, but apparently they didn't think this was anything unusual. If you follow the news, from every five, because this is not the first time they sent this submarine to look at the Titanic, from every five, only one is able to actually find the remains and see the Titanic. So it's a gamble anyway. But that's all we hear about this week, about this tragedy. Certainly it is a tragedy. Seems like anything connected to the Titanic is a tragedy. I don't know. The sinking of the Titanic is one of the most talked about tragedies over the last 100 years. In fact, there are people who are very passionate about the Titanic. I don't know if you like that, Lucy. She, you sit down with Lucy, she'll talk to you your ear off about the Titanic and everything related to it, the time that it hit the iceberg, everything. She's familiar with all that. So some of you may have that passion for the Titanic. So if you had a passion for the Titanic, I asked Lucy about this. She never told me. How many of you have heard the name John Harper? Anybody of you? Titanic fans? Not even Lucy. John Harper. How about that? Well, John Harper was a young widower who, at the age of 39, he set sail on the Titanic with his six-year-old daughter, Annie, who he named Nana, or nicknamed Nana, and his sister, Jessie Leach. So he had been once again invited to cross the Atlantic Ocean to go preach at the Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois. And after answering God's call to preach at the age of 17, this young Scottish pastor shared God's love wherever he went, including aboard the Titanic. And so on that fateful night of April 14, 1912, as women and children were being herded into one of the 20 lifeboats there, because the ship was sinking already, John Harper placed his little girl on number 11 with his sister to make sure that they were safe. Then he raised the voice above the waters, above the threatening waters, to anyone who would listen and share the gospel from Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. In those last hours, as the ship continued sinking, John shared the hope of Jesus with as many as would listen and that would pray with them once they accepted that gift. Eventually, he found himself plunged into the icy waters. But even then, he grabbed hold of a piece of debris and continued raising his voice above the waters to share with those who were literally perishing. 4 years later, when the survivors of the Titanic gathered in Canada to share their experiences, one young man stood up and shared that he had heard that voice above the waters. Amen. He too had been in those icy waters as John Harper floated close enough to him to share the gospel not once but twice. This young man became John Harper's last convert. Not only did Harper share the life-giving gospel, he also gave his life vest to another so that somebody else could live. John Harper may have drowned in those icy waters over 100 years ago, but he did not perish. And because of the voice above the waters, others heard the gospel, and they too were saved. I've shared with you of the reality is that you never know the impact you're going to have when you share the word of God with someone. Even if it's one person, because you may share it with that one person, but that one person may come to Christ, and through that person, dozens of people can come to Jesus. Sometimes we think that one person isn't enough, not in the eyes of God. Now, John's little girl and his sister survived and were among those rescued by the Carpathia. A group of from Moody Church, remember he was traveling to Moody Church to preach there. Well, they traveled to New York and they made sure that everything was taken care of, that his daughter and his sister were taken care of, had everything they need, and they could go back to Scotland. Annie grew up and married a young pastor. She went on to become the longest living Scottish Titanic survivor, and she died in 1986. Over 100 years have passed since then, and John Harper's first church that he pastored is now known as Harper Church Glasgow, and still proclaims the truth that John so passionately shared that night. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. They become a multinational Scottish church, sharing God's word in multiple languages and reaching the nations as the nations come to them, right there in Glasgow. John Harper's voice and mission continue. This morning, as we celebrate communion service, we also are proclaiming the same truth. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Communion is a witness of that, a witness that Jesus died for you. Now, the context of Acts chapter 16 is the story of Paul and Silas's imprisonment. You may remember there they were in prison, chained to the walls, and they're singing hymns to the Lord. And God intervenes to miraculously set them free with an earthquake. And the earthquake happens, and the building is shook. The gates are open. And the jailer immediately assumes, well, the gates are open. All the prisoners escape, which was a death sentence for him. So he's about to commit suicide with his own sword. And Paul urges him, stop, don't do it. And this led him to ask one of the most powerful questions, a question that you and I have asked, and if you haven't asked, you need to ask it now and get your answer. What must I do to be saved? Amen. What must I do to be saved? It's not a complicated answer either. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Of course, this belief is more than just the intellectual theory, the mental assent. No. This belief, the Greek for belief, pistou, which means to have faith and trust in the Lord. A trust that is only possible when you've made Jesus the center of your life, when you made Jesus the priority, when you've developed a loving, surrendered, salvific relationship with the God who created heaven and earth and with his Son. It means that you've accepted him as Savior and Lord of your life. See, nothing in this world that this world has to offer is more important than the salvation that Jesus secured on that fateful day at the cross of Calvary. Now, we don't know what curveball life is going to throw at us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, or even if tomorrow will come for us. But if tomorrow doesn't come for us, we do know that the morning of the resurrection will come. And because the morning of the resurrection will come, for you to be part of that, for you to be among those who rise from the grave, for you to be among those who meet Jesus in the clouds of heaven, there's one way you can know for sure you'll be there. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. As inspiring as John Harper's last hours were, it was his daily life following Jesus that led to his strength of faith as he faced that night. And do you have, can that be said about you, that you have a daily walk following Jesus that will strengthen you to face whatever life throws at you? We don't have to be thrown into the frigid waters or stand on a sinking ship, because God gives us opportunities to make a difference in a person's life every day. Each and every day, God gives us this privilege, this opportunity. People all around us are holding to life's debris, looking for hope and salvation. Friends, this morning, let us raise our voices above the waters and share Jesus now and every day. Now, we're going to separate for our foot washing at this time. We do the foot washing. For those of you who may not know, we follow the command of Jesus in John chapter 13. We ought to do as he did. Foot washing, a symbol of humility, but also a symbol of our washing of our daily toil, as it were, a mini baptism. And so we'll separate. The ladies are going to be in the fellowship hall to my left, your right. The gentlemen will be in primary, right across here to my right, your left. And for couples that like to do this together, we will be in the beginner's room. As you come in, please come reverently in after that. We are asking you to sit on the pews that have the white dot on the side. If you look at the pews, there's white dots on them. We ask you to sit on those pews with the white dots. While we are taking part of the foot washing, the children can stay here. Stacy's going to have your children's story. But please, parents, don't forget to give them your offering, okay? So that they can bring the children's offering as they stay here and take part of their children's story. Will you stand with me as we pray now? Loving Father, this morning, again, you have encouraged us and reminded us of the importance of sharing, raising our own voices above the waters, and sharing Jesus with others as we take part of this communion service, a witness of that truth, Lord. May it not be just here that we share our voices, but especially as we go out of this building and come in contact with so many that are perishing. Oh, Lord, may we share the truth of Jesus that will save them. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.